Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, that makes you a highly intelligent individual. I'm excited about having Stephen Little back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is a friend of ours, member of our Brain Trust, the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. He is a guy who travels all over the country helping communities of small business owners grow their business and get better at what they do. And he's our good friend. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Jim, great to be back with you.
It's good to have you here, as always. And, you know, Stephen, I don't know if you heard the ending of my previous segment, but
I sure did.
I was talking about small town America, and I was just the point, and you're in a lot of small towns like me and across the country, and you talk to a lot of small business owners, a lot of leaders of small business communities, what I was saying earlier, Stephen, before you got here, was that in small town America, when you and I were kids, a small business in small town America could walk or drive in a few minutes to just about all their customers and every single one of their competitors.
Yep.
It's not like that anymore. And so small business owners, you live in a small town because you like that pace. And there was a time when you could do business at that pace. But today, you've got to really operate a little bit in two universes. You've got to operate in the pace of your community, but you've also got to be prepared to kick it into high gear and compete globally, don't you?
Well, there's no question. And, you know, one of the laments I hear and one of the attitudes that perturbs me is the notion that the consumer's wrong. Or that the marketplace is wrong, that they're going, you know, they're going to the wrong store, you know, they're driving too far.
What's wrong with these people?
You know, the outside marketplace always dictates what the market should be. And small town business, small town America, yes, sometimes we'll have whiners on. Now, there are some communities that get it and do an incredible job, and you and I know some of those communities, and there's others I've been to where I don't know if they'll ever get it, that they just seem to continue to do things to shoot themselves in the foot. But you know, and you never can tell, Jim. I know you're probably like this too. You try to keep up with all 1,000 communities in the U.S. or so, but I can't keep up with all of them.
No.
And I was recently asked to come to Dubuque, Iowa. Thinking, you know, okay, it's Dubuque.
That is as heartland America as it gets.
Well, you know, it's where Field of Dreams was shot,
right.
the movie, and so it is America.
It's
God's
heaven,
country.
It's
it truly is. And so I went, and I'll be honest with you, I shouldn't do this, but I had a vision in my mind of what it was going to be. I got there and met with community leaders that have built something out of nothing. And you talk about Field of Dreams, this town is something else. And they've done it with retail. They've done it with downtown revitalization
mm-hmm.
by prioritizing a certain amount of things that said, let's get people back down shopping downtown. And even though they can be driving 30 minutes to some larger communities for some of the big box stuff. And it's worked. And the place is thriving. And I literally walked away from there telling my wife, if the airport was a little closer, I'd live there. They got to drive to Cedar Rapids to fly out. Other than that, I'd live there. It was fantastic.
Well, the thing is what it sounds to me like what they're getting is they understand why people buy things.
Yeah.
And they found a way to give them those things. You know, one of the other things that I was talking about, Stephen, was these communities who are that are trying to keep Walmart out. You know, they're actually.
Yeah.
Coming up with petitions to prevent a Walmart from being built there, and see, as you know, nobody is more of a supporter and a fighter for small businesses than I am. But I'm not here to protect small businesses from competition. That's not what my role is.
You and I are on the exact same page on this, Jim. We've never compared notes on it, but I can honestly tell you that I say the same thing that. first of all, you got to deal with what's reality. What is reality? And reality is even if that big box isn't in your community, so they're going to drive 20 minutes to the next community, you know. And so it will affect you, sure. But that is the reality. If you weren't thinking about this a long time ago, then shame on you. The second thing is I'm with you on the idea of competition is good. I'll even go this far. Now, you know, I haven't drank the magic Kool-Aid so much to where I'm going to tell you that they're small business's best friend, but they get it. And
they do.
I recently, actually, this could sound pretentious, but it is the truth. I had dinner with the president of Sam's Club, which is, of course, different than Walmart, but not a whole lot different. And, you know, they understand that their perception out there in small business isn't the best. And as a result, they're doing everything they can to try and improve it with supporting small business initiatives around the country.
That is one element of that organization that is doing that. Stand by, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break. We're right back with Stephen Little. He's the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Mr. Carlos Santana, ladies and gentlemen. Classic Santana. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Stephen Little. Stephen S. Little is the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Stephen, tell us where the book's available and how we can find you.
Well, the book's available at Barnes and bookstores everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and, of course, Amazon.com. And you can also just go to my website, Stephen with a V, middle initial S is in Sterling, Little.com.
All right, StephenSLittle.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And, Stephen, I know that you speak to small business groups all over the country, especially chambers of commerce. And, you know, you were mentioning some of the chambers that you see out there. You were talking about the one in Dubuque, Iowa. I was in Tulsa not long ago. I was so impressed with what they're trying to do there. My audience hears me talking about chambers of commerce, and Stephen, I've been a member of my chamber since 1977, and you know I joined when I was only 4, and so you know I've been singing the chamber song for a long time, and I think you would agree with me that if a person wants to be a small business owner in small town America and still be competitive globally, competitive at all, be able to really survive in the 21st century, one of the best friends they could have is the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, there's no question, and I'd even go this far. Unfortunately, not every chamber is up to snuff yet, but there's been a dramatic change in chambers across this country over the last 10 years. And if you're in one of those, say, 1,000 communities in the U.S. that has had the dramatic change happen, then bully for you. If you're in a town where the chamber is still all about the weenie roast and the golf tournament, and that's about all there is to it, then get involved and change it, because it's not just going to help you. People ask me all the time, what can a chamber do to help me? Wrong question. You know, what can you do?
You're the chamber.
To help that chamber to help your community, because that then eventually helps you.
And well, see, that's one of the biggest myths, I think. It's sad to say, Stephen. You tell me if you agree with me or not. But if you went out and plopped yourself down in the middle of America, and you asked 100 people, what is the Chamber of Commerce? I bet you 97 of them would say it's a government organization.
Mm-hmm. They would think it's government.
And a part of the city, part of the because the Economic Development Authority may be part of the government, and that's a myth because it's a dangerous myth, because the chamber is you. It's what you put into it.
That's it. And then in big towns, and let's say top 50 markets, a lot of them would tell you the chamber is the group that goes and sells to the outside world.
Right.
And of course, that is part of their job. But no one would see it. I have a couple of towns that come to mind that would be offended if I said their names, but let's just say some top 50 markets not too far away from you. And that is the chamber's primary role, because the members won't get involved enough to have it be what it could be, which is local initiatives, local education, everything from bringing in events and speakers, but also working with local retailers to help them with accounting procedures. And there's all kinds of things a chamber could be if the members would allow it to be that. And so, yes, it's you and I both spend a lot of time with with chamber executives who sometimes wish they could change that marketing perception, and they're working on it. And it varies. I always use the example that you cannot tell by market size how strong the chamber will be, nor how many programs will offer. And so, like you said, you can go to a Tulsa, Oklahoma, and or Knoxville, Tennessee, where I was recently, and the chamber is just doing incredible things.
That's right.
And then you can go to a top 20 market, and the chamber is pretty much irrelevant.
And one of the reasons I think, Stephen, you tell me if you agree with me or not. I actually think that the larger markets are going to have the bigger challenges in the future because they're the ones that are having to make the 21st century transition from being beholden to the big companies to learning anew about who their real constituents are, who their real members are, and that's small businesses.
You're right. They're beholden not only to big business, but big government,
right.
And they become more quasi-governmental, even though they're not officially.
Right.
And they become more about the junket to China to try to find a new factory, and that gets all sexy and a lot of fun for everybody, but it isn't the nuts and bolts of the community. And so, yes, I think you're right. They have a harder time turning those things around. But what's also interesting is, in many cases, they're not that big. So the large communities, I can think of a couple markets in particular that are big cities, but the chambers are quite small and are dwarfed by the chambers that are in their suburbs. The suburban chambers are bigger than the actual big city chamber.
Because they're not as beholden to, because they didn't spring up being part of a GM or whatever. They sprung up being part of Joe's florist shop.
That's right.
No, exactly. And the thing is that but regardless, folks, that's just a little bit of inside baseball there. But regardless, if in my opinion, the best thing the small business owner could do, the best investment they could make other than in their own business, is to join a chamber of commerce, pay your dues, be active, join a committee, do what you can, because when you do that, what you've done is you've strengthened your own community, your own marketplace.
Yep. No question about it.
When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, Steve. When we come back, I want to talk about some of your ideas, some of the things that you're seeing out there. I want you to tell us a little bit about what you're seeing out there in the marketplace. What are some people doing out there that you think are worthy of passing along? And we're going to do that right after these messages. Stephen S. Little is our guest. If you put a .com on the end of that, you'll find his website and his book, The 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Stay with us. 10 till. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and all the other things, my blog, the archives, the articles, our Brain Trust members, including our guest this half hour, an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, Stephen S. Little, the author of The 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth, and one of the best friends a small business owner ever had. And folks, if Stephen comes to your town to speak to your chamber or whatever group, and you have an opportunity to hear him speak and to go to meet him, please do. Take advantage of that. You won't regret it. Stephen, I asked you about... I wanted you to talk to us about some of the things you've seen. So give us an update on where small business growth is.
Kind of finger to the wind, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I'm noticing, Jim, and I'm sure you're hearing and seeing the same thing, optimism has never been better since September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right this second, that as I'm out there the last month or two, I can't believe how even a year ago, people weren't quite ready to say, you know, they were saying all the signs are there, but are not quite ready to plunge in with both feet.
Right.
And people are now, and they're investing, and they're investing in infrastructure. They're putting money back into systems like never before. The thing, though, that has become my mantra. In fact, I'm working on a new book. I can't pitch it yet because it'll be a couple years before I get it done. But you know, my new book is going to be called "The Only Rule That Really Matters." I've got 7 rules, but there's only one rule that matters, and that really is this notion of finding and keeping the best and brightest people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that sometimes the small business owner can lose sight of. They get so
It's the one where there's no budget.
They don't even have
a budget for what you just said.
And that's the issue. And they also don't have a passion for it. Now, this isn't all, and if someone on the listening to us today is the exception, I don't want them to take exception. But the most people that I talk to are so into the thing that they do or the thing that they make that when business gets good, that's what they want to put their time into because they love that stuff. That's why they matriculated into the business. But what I say is that a business growth leader is the one that understands that they can hire for what's working today. They need to have their eyes on tomorrow and where things are going. And that's a lot of that has to do with the whole idea of hiring, training, and retaining the best people, because it's the only way you can get to the next level.
Stephen, the two things that I've, and my audience has heard me say this 1,000 times, they know what I'm about to say, so they're rolling their eyes, Stephen. and that is the two things that small business owners must start taking lessons from big companies about. And one of them is marketing, and the other is human resources.
Yep.
We just don't do a good job of finding and hiring the best people. It's an annoying task. We don't like it. We're not good at it. We just want to get it done. We want to get.
Yep.
We
see it as the thing that gets in the way of doing our job.
Yeah.
And what I tell literally 1,000 business owners a week is that is your job. That is the job. If you want to be a business growth leader, if you want to grow the company, if you're not that interested in growth, you can probably get away without having to worry about it as much. But if growth is what you're aspiring to, then the job of a growth leader is human resources. That is the job. And what I say, Jim, too, and I say it in the book a lot, is I say that there are yesterday, today, and tomorrow issues. And too much of the time, we get mired in yesterday and today.
Yep.
Yesterday is quality control and accounting issues. Need to be looked at, but we can't spend all our time there. Today issues tends to be things like sales and operations, manufacturing, the day-to-day stuff. But then what the business growth leader needs to do is extricate themselves from yesterday and today and really look at tomorrow. And tomorrow is marketing, as you described it. Tomorrow issues certainly include the hiring, the technology, and just seeing the future more clearly than you used to see it.
Prospecting for customers and prospective employees.
Exactly. And really, it's the same notion. You have to be, not only do we need to know customers better than we've ever known them, we've got to understand the nature of work, why people work. Because here's the thing, Jim, it is going to be a seller's market. You and I have lived in a world for 50 years where we were in control when it came to hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those days are gone coming back.
And not only that, it's going to get whatever you just said, it's going to get worse.
We're going to get worse, and we've just got to learn to understand that why people work, what they're willing to do, when they want to do it. It's all going to be up to them because you're going to need workers.
I got to wrap it up, Stephen. I'm going to see you in about a month in Washington, D.C., and then about 3 months in Cleveland, Ohio. I'll look forward to both of those. Stephen Little, ladies and gentlemen. StephenSLittle.com is the website. Thanks, Stephen. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.